might have seen in the program, Lane Wake was scheduled to be here to present today. She's one of my colleagues back in Colorado. She's still in Colorado. And I'm going to be presenting on behalf of her and Mary Beth Rensbigger, a nurse at one of the large districts in Colorado schools. I'm going to talk with you this morning just a little bit about how we looked at school immunization records and specifically the exemptions noted in the school immunization records and compared that to our statewide registry. Historically in Colorado, we've looked at a number of ways to try to do school assessments and try to really figure out whether kids are up to date and how we know if the kids are up to date and whether that data is reliable. In the past, we did a self-report where we had school districts send us the information. They sent us the number of children that were up to date and the number of children that had taken an exemption. Those rates hovered about 90%. 90% they reported were up to date at school entry. We did a comparison study back 4 years ago and found that that data was not reliable, and it was much higher than what we found in an audit process. So we implemented a routine audit system. We did that over the last few years, and we've hit a lot of challenges with the audit system, most specifically FERPA, preventing us from doing the project like we'd like to. This data actually shows the percent of Colorado's kindergartners up to date at school entry, and you can see it's substantially less than 90% that had been reported in years prior. And there's some variability between the years with a high of 83.4% the last time we did the school assessment. Since that time when we did the school assessment, we really have been unsuccessful in getting all schools to participate in a school audit process because they've been unwilling to share their records due to FERPA. And we've been trying to determine the best way to approach doing school assessments, and one of the thoughts we had was to look at the school databases, and Aurora Public Schools was kind enough to participate with us in a study to see if that data may give us a reliable source in lieu of doing the on-site audits. This actually shows you the percent of kindergartners in Colorado that claim an exemption. This is any type of exemption. I'll talk to you more about the exemptions in Colorado. And you can see there's some variability also by years, with the highest in the 06-07 school year when we did the on-site audit process with a 6% exemption rate statewide. And the type of exemption that the kindergartners can take in Colorado, it's relatively easy for parents to take a school exemption. So they can take an exemption for medical reasons signed by a medical provider, religious reasons signed by a religious leader or a person of their faith, and finally a personal exemption, which is signed by the parent. There's no requirement that they formulate a statement in their mind, let alone actually articulate the statement. They simply sign the card, and that's the extent of the requirement for them to take an exemption. So you can see the most common type of exemption in Colorado is a personal exemption. Again, there's no rigor behind that. So when we worked with the Aurora Public Schools, again, a large school district, Metro Denver, has over 35,000 students, and they have a large database that they use to track all kinds of school information, and they include in that tracking the students' immunization records. And included in that, of course, is their exemption, if they've taken an exemption. So we actually got the entire database and did an analysis of that database to try to determine if it would be a viable source for us to use to evaluate whether students were up to date or not. And I'll share with you several slides that illustrate that data. There were about 670 students that had an exemption for over 1,700 shots, with about a 2% exemption rate across their district with this data. And this will show you, of the children that claimed an exemption, again, 670 odd students that took an exemption, the majority of those were in middle school. It didn't surprise us because we had recently implemented a new TDAP requirement at 6th and 10th grade, and we were incrementally implementing that with two grades each year. And so we did expect that there would be students that didn't have that requirement met, and that some of those students or parents would choose to take an exemption rather than getting that vaccination. Of the students that took an exemption, again, this is an N of 673. This is the vaccine that they took the exemption from. These are not mutually exclusive, and so they may have exempted from more than one vaccination at the time that they took the exemption. And so you can see the highest here is the DTaP or the TDAP, which is actually not distinguishable in their database, although the requirement is distinguished differently among our statute and Board of Health requirements. But in their database, when they track those doses, they simply track TDAP and then begin to track DTAP, and then they begin to track TTAP. And then of the students that did take an exemption, you can see they either likely took an exemption from four vaccines or from one vaccine. So again, they weren't mutually exclusive, but the data illustrates that it could have been a large number or just one vaccination. And this illustrates it similar, but this is really showing that if they took one, they've exempted from one vaccine, most likely the vaccine they exempted from was DTaP or TDAP. And then it was pretty indistinguishable among two or three vaccines. And this is if the type of exemption that they took specific to the school district, and over 87% of the exemptions that were recorded in the district data were personal exemptions, again, likely for the reasons that I described earlier. And this illustrates the type of exemption for, again, the N here is all of the vaccines that were exempted, not just the individual students. And this is broken out by the vaccine type. So if they took a medical exemption, the most common vaccine they exempted from was MMR. And if they took a personal exemption, the most common vaccine they exempted from was DTaP or TDAP. We think that the MMR exemption likely is related to the fact that often the first dose of the MMR is given improperly or given at too early of an age, and it doesn't count in the school law. And so when parents are informed of that, they often opt to take an exemption rather than actually getting the dose replaced with an appropriately spaced vaccination. This is similar in that it shows by student, and it shows where in this, by age or by school, whether or not what type of exemption was taken for which vaccine. And again, middle school, the DTaP and TDAP stands out in this slide, where at school entry, the MMR stands out as the most likely vaccination that they would have taken an exemption from. So the thing that was of interest to us that was impressive was that when we did a comparison and we looked specifically for the students that had a noted immunization exemption on file in the Aurora Public School data, did they actually have a vaccination record in our statewide registry for that vaccine? And we looked at that specifically, so if they took an exemption for TDAP, could we find a TDAP dose recorded in our statewide registry for that student? And we found that to be true in 62% of the students. We were able to find in the state registry that the vaccine had been administered and had been recorded in the state registry. And this illustrates of those students, when you compare whether or not they had taken an exemption, whether they actually had a vaccination in the registry, and a vaccination, not just one dose, but whether they had had multiple doses of that vaccine, which we would expect in some of these cases. For instance, TDAP, there were 538 students that had an exemption from TDAP or DTaP. But of those 324, we could find a record in the registry, and over 50% of them had more than four doses recorded in the registry, which we would expect to see for a complete TDAP series. And you can see further down, similar for hepatitis B, over 300, almost 400 students took an exemption. Of those, we found over 200 had a record in the registry, and 43% of them had more than three or more doses noted in the registry. Some of them had more than what we might expect, which could be possible, of course, depending on the way that the vaccines were administered when we consider minimum ages and minimum intervals. But this just illustrates that it's potential that there may even be some evidence of over-vaccination. Again, these are just for the students that had an exemption listed on file. And for instance, in the case of DTaP or TDAP, many of the what we found was in the records, there were as many as 11% that had more than five doses recorded in the registry, more than two doses of MMR, more than four doses of polio, or more than three doses of hepatitis B. This is just an example that blew my mind as we were doing the analysis. This is one student who was listed as having a personal exemption. And this is their history, it's found in the registry. And so you can see that this student was over-vaccinated for DTaP, hepatitis B, and for polio, surprisingly appropriately vaccinated for MMR, but was actually still listed in the database as being exempt from vaccination. So if we were able to adjust the data in the Aurora Public School data system, in other words, if we took the school data and added to that what we found in our registry, what we would find is a surprising significant difference, because a number of doses that were noted as exempt were actually in the database. And so, for instance, for DTaP, 538 students that took an exemption, but we found 172 of those students were up to date in the registry. So, of course, that would have been a third of an increase in the students that were up to date in the report that we would have looked at for that district, and so forth for the other vaccinations. So a couple caveats before I give you our conclusions, and that is that the data was entered from the student's record into the database at the school system. And so, of course, there's the possibility that there's errors, errors in the recording system. And exemptions were entered in what we described as randomly, meaning if they exempted from the fourth dose of DTaP, we would expect that they might exempt from the fifth dose of DTaP, but that's not necessarily true in the database. So it appears to be not systematic, that the parent was simply objecting to that particular vaccination or that vaccination series, or that they took an exemption at this point and continued with the exemption, but they could have taken it, and then there is a date for a subsequent vaccination in their system. So what we found is we don't think this is our universal answer for our data analysis for up-to-date determination for students in the school districts, at least from what we saw in this initial analysis. The exemption data isn't reliable. It's likely related to the fact that it's easy to take an exemption in Colorado, and probably easier than it is to find the record. So while the record may be in the registry, the school district didn't have the capacity to pull that registry data into their database and didn't do that. Instead, the students or the parents simply signed the form indicating they didn't have the record, and so they were taking a personal exemption, is one of the conclusions that we made. Obviously, access to our registry is really important for schools, and that's one of the pieces that we're working on in Colorado, is assuring that each school district has not only access to the data, but can manipulate that data appropriately to try to get those records that may be missing before they pursue the option of the parent signing the card, which, depending on the school district in Colorado, can be an aggressive school secretary who simply wants the job checked off and completed. Thank you.